Hi, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Nasa.
And I'm Swan. And this is Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn.
I screwed that up slightly.
Yeah, it's okay. Something new and exciting for us.
Yeah. Speaking about new and exciting, we are in... Yeah, thank you. That was
what
a great segue. Right?
Wow.
I'm pretty proud
great.
Of me.
Oh, man.
Turning an accident into a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We are joined in the studio today with the lovely Barbara Begley. And normally we have like a little blurb, but I did not look that up.
I can talk about myself if you want.
What's your Twitter profile?
I don't have one.
Wow.
I can't contain my thoughts to that short. It doesn't work.
what self-labels do
that
you?
That would be bad. You want like artistic work labels? You want
just labels in general.
I'm a person.
Yeah.
I'm a artist and writer and art enabler, and I live and work in Brooklyn right down the street from this lovely radio station.
I like that.
I do too.
That was a really solid introduction.
Thank you. I have it printed on business cards that no one ever takes. It's really
so
fun.
Smart. We are also joined by Cameron Toy.
Hi. What's up? Thanks for having me here.
And he is a musician.
Yeah, I am a musician.
He's a magician as well.
I wonder who played that song.
Yeah, I wonder.
Wow,
wasn't it really
who
good?
Could that be?
Who
it was like
could
a
that
really
possibly
good song.
Be? It was an amazing song.
It was me.
Who was?
It was me. Was it all you? No, it wasn't all me. It wasn't all me. It was. I'm in a band called Gandra Chorale. And
they're really good.
We've been working on this album for a couple months, and that was a song from it. It is called All We See Is Years.
If I, the layperson, wanted to find your music and listen to it, where would I do that?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you asked. You can actually go to gandracorral.bandcamp.com, and I think there's also a link on the site or description.
We're going to be putting one up after this, because I wanted people to hear the music.
Oh my God.
And then come and check
us out. I
would
love for people to hear the music.
It's super cool.
We worked really hard on it.
Yeah.
So we want to see what people think.
It's like really good.
It is.
It's part of this really exciting project that they're doing it for.
Oh my God. Here we are.
Super psyched about. Oh my God. Look at all the segues.
I know. It's just segue palooza right here.
It's just such natural, you know?
Yeah. What is this project you're talking about?
They're working. Well, Cameron, why don't you talk about this? That might be cool.
Well, okay. Well, do you want to talk about your half?
I can talk about my half.
Because my half came later.
They are currently... So the next Gandra Chorale album is really exciting because not only is it an album, it is also a part of a multimedia graphic novel interactive art piece called...
That sounds amazing.
It's really
right?
cool. Called Half-Lives, or Ernest Oliver Weinberg's Book of Necessary Knowledge, which is being published and printed by Undiscovered Countries Press, which is a brand new printing... wing.
For those of you who remember, we had Undiscovered Countries on this radio show about a month back, I would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not too far.
So they are one in the same.
So they are one in the same.
Were you here?
I was not here.
No.
I was doing some. I was
she
somewhere
was busy.
Else. I was out of town that day, but other really cool people were here.
Yeah, it was Kayla and
Alton. That was right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's coming out in October, hopefully in the fall of this year. And it's a very exciting. It's a very exciting project. It is a full color. It's a full color graphic novel that was written by me. Cameron hasn't even seen the new inks that we got in today.
What?
Oh my God! Oh my God! So exciting. But written by me and drawn by two separate and like very differently styled illustrators, as pertains to the form of the book. And then not only that, it also is this simultaneously like intergoing and also freestanding rock album by Gandra Chorale that is in the book on QR codes, like at the particular moments in the story where the song comes in.
That's so brilliant.
It's like really cool. I'm really excited about it. Also, the record is just like my favorite record ever. I just really like it. I sometimes forget that it's like for a thing that I started.
Well, that's the idea, right? We want it to be something that could stand on its own as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which it absolutely does. And it's been really fun to watch like these two pieces of art get to be things that stand alone and that also add such wonderful layers to each other.
Yeah, we've only done one read through so far where we like go through some of like the drafts of the pages and pencils and stuff and take a look at like here's where the song starts and try to read through, and it was really cool, and like we made some adjustments and stuff, but like there were a few of them that were just like, oh wow, this fits perfectly here, this is really cool. It's very
exciting. So is this your first, like, published piece with Undiscovered Countries, or in general, is this your first piece?
This is my first large published piece. Undiscovered Countries Press has been doing a bunch of... So Undiscovered Countries, as you might, as your viewers, your readers, your listeners,
all of the mediums.
However you digest.
As your audience might remember, and as you might remember from a month ago, is a new performance works collective. So we do a bi-monthly evening of new and developing work, and that has been, you know, it started as a theater festival, and then it quickly branched out to stand-up and performance art, and Nace has done really cool stuff there, and Cameron has done really cool stuff there, and there's music and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And we launched our print division this year we've started printing flash fiction and, like, pieces of short pieces and poetry, and actually collaborative fictional works that get printed within the programs for the show, so people get to come to the show, as you might have, I hope that you got one when you came.
Yeah, yeah.
So people get to come to the show and have an experience of art, like,
here's
within
a little booklet,
the theater, too, yeah. And then also have a thing that they get to take away and experience on their own. This is the first of several, like, larger printed pieces that is coming out of that imprint. But I've had stuff like single and double pages, and, you know, things of 400 words published through that, which is super fun. Yeah. But yeah, this is very exciting.
Yay!
I'm thrilled.
Well, it makes me curious how long you've been writing comics, I guess, is the question, because that seems like a pretty specific thing to be writing.
Absolutely. This piece itself was originally written as a play. Mm-hmm. I come from a theatrical background and come from a playwriting background, this particular piece was first written like 2.5 or maybe 3 years ago now, and was in revisions and in performances, and Cameron also partook in some of those performances as a piece of live theater art for a very long for several years, and then in the last year, has it been a year that we've been? I don't even know.
Well,
It's been about a year. We started it actually. We started working on it like last fall, so it's gonna be coming up on a year soon. Mm-hmm. This has been being. I wound up making friends with and knowing illustrators who really enjoyed the piece and wanted to, and thought that there was a lot of like potential for it as a visual artwork. Mm-hmm. And as a comic book, and I'm a great fan of comic books and a longtime reader of them. So it's been really fun adapting. It's been really fun actually coming at it, because I am not a very experienced comic book writer. Mm-hmm. So it's been really interesting.
Talk more about that. I guess maybe, like, what are some things that are surprising to you, or that you've learned in adapting something from one medium to another?
Totally. They're both very visual, so I'm surprised in some ways about how many things, like, work and how in both, and how easily it was to adapt it. I was not prepared going in, and the illustrators who are working on this are geniuses, and Cameron is a genius, so there's been a lot of like filling in of blanks.
Help me, genius.
Help me, genius friends. I like you. Please come do things with me.
The best friends are genius friends,
which is great, because it's been interesting. The process of writing a play is very much about, like, you write a thing, and then at a certain point you let go of it, and you give it to another team of people
let it grow and breathe.
Yeah.
It's like having a child, and then you have to, like, leave it at daycare and walk away.
Totally. And then, like, at daycare, like,
you're like,
who knows?
Your hair is purple now. Interesting.
Oh, like, you got cast weirdly. That's fine.
You just swore for the first time.
That's cool.
Interesting.
This is an adventure. Whereas with this particular comic process has been a lot... it was really fun, because I got the draft to a point where I was like, I'm ready to let go of this. And then the illustrators were like, okay, cool, but what does this scene look like? But, like, what color is this car? Like, what is the bike? Like, is it this kind of bike or this kind of bike? So it was a very fun and funny lesson in, like, letting go of something and then being like, wait, you're not done yet.
It's so interesting, because it sounds like you're both the director of it and also the, like, writer.
Yeah.
Because it's the same kind of, like... well, what is this scene? What are the scenery? What's the, it's like talking to your creative team.
Totally.
About like imagery.
And it's been really wonderful because it's been such a long process. It's been really wonderful watching the illustrators start to like take ownership of the pieces their own. Mm-hmm. And instead of coming to me with questions, coming into me with like, hey, there are here, like, you know, there's this like diner that's set in between dimensions and where like all the different dimension travelers come in this book. And here are like four different versions of what that could look like. I was thinking of this and this and this. And what if there's a Sarlacc pit? And it's been really funny. It's been really wonderful watching them. I love this project so much because of all of the ideas in it that aren't mine. and the score and like all of the music in it is like really, is really a great also example of that, because my process with you was like pretty, the writing process, like as far as I was involved in it, was pretty minimal. My involvement in it was minimal.
I mean, yeah, because with the original one, I think that the last time we did a live reading of it was what, last summer?
Well, it was last winter.
Last winter?
At Bizarre,
yeah, okay. Right.
You had stage directions for it. It was great.
I did. And originally, there were just a bunch of needle drops in it of like different songs from like the 80s that just sort of helped the story along and like sing along bits. And then we realized that you can't really use those. Probably
it was Prince, and Prince would, may he rest in peace. He would raise back from the dead to like come and take the book out of my hands if I tried to use something of his without copyright. Yeah. So like,
I could imagine that. Yeah,
it was just a practical necessity.
So we might have mentioned this already, but if I'm listening and I'm intrigued, where and when can I find this thing?
So this particular thing, there actually is a pre-order. So it's coming out. This album, the album and the book are coming out together in the fall of this year. The album is currently being dropped, actually, as singles on the Gander Corral Bandcamp, so you can
dropped.
Listen.
Ooh.
Dropped! So you can dropping listen that. To really awesome stuff that is similar to what we're playing here in bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. The book itself and the full album coming out with the book are coming out this fall. There is a pre-order site in which you can pre-order copies of the book and the album that is up as of yesterday, which is super cool. and then that, and there also are like little bits and pieces of it showing up on the internet on my website and Cameron's Bandcamp and all sorts of various places.
We'll link to in the show notes.
Yes. Yes. We ran a wildly successful Kickstarter campaign to get the book printed, which is also how we managed to bring Gander Corral on.
We were not part of it until they were like really close to getting their Kickstarter goal. And then we're like, hey, what if we just...
Hey,
what if we did things?
What if we just brought more people in on this?
What if we made art with all of our friends? And what if we like raised an additional? If we can raise an additional grand, can we get you to come do this? And like, that would be cool. And I can pay you, which I like doing.
Oh my god, I love getting paid.
It's really cool. It doesn't happen very often.
I know I'm like probably alone. I don't know if that's everyone's thing.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Not like the most popular thing in the world.
Right.
No one likes it. Capitalism isn't real.
Yeah, who
Cameron.
Wants to get paid for their art?
No one. No absolutely one.
I mean, I guess I'm alone in
it's
that.
It's a passion, Lisa. Yeah. It's not a job.
Toil
okay?
away for free.
Yeah, we're all being sarcastic, just to clarify.
Yeah, we are totally being
we are
sarcastic.
100% being
please
sarcastic.
Pay your artist.
Please pay your artists.
Please pay for your art. Well, and this is something
as you can.
As much as you can.
So that's brings me to mind. You guys are doing a GoFundMe?
There are two current fundraising campaigns running.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm
going
to let Cameron talk about that one.
But also, just like also throwing it out there, an interface that I've used to start paying people that I love and appreciate their work is the Patreon forum. So just like plugging for that, that's a really great place to find art to support and also to build your own community.
Just like the Patreon, I believe, that Ink and Worm
has? We don't have a Patreon because I'm not sure how that looks. Radio Free Brooklyn has a Patreon.
Yes.
And you can check that out.
Please. Gander Corral also has a Patreon, actually.
We do. We're not great at keeping up with it. I think we got three people to give us money, and then one of them stopped because we didn't do any of the stuff we said we would do.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I have to be more organized as a human being and have, like, a legitimate following before I leap
into
that.
Like, if that's, like, one of, like, three things I'm doing, then maybe I can do it, but, like...
Right now it's one of, like, 12 million, and so...
But maybe if we actually start doing it, then people will... us money.
But there is a way for people to support you and give you money right now.
Yeah,
that's true.
You should shout that out.
This is very important.
You've recently experienced some like wild and crazy Brooklyn shenanigans.
We did. It was a wild and crazy night. I wasn't there. But our studio, our little practice space, it's like a 9 by 9 foot windowless room, locked, in this compound with like a bunch of other practice spaces and stuff. And somebody, which is also locked and like unlabeled on the outside. You have to know where it is to find it. Somebody broke into our practice space
with a screwdriver.
With a screwdriver or a credit card or something.
That's upsetting.
And like left the screwdriver, but then took a bunch of other stuff, and it turns out to be like $3,000 or $4,000 worth of stuff.
Oh.
Like they picked.
And not insured because it didn't seem like you were at risk.
Yeah.
Like you were like safe.
Super
not
safe.
Safe.
Yeah, and we've been there for like years.
You don't leave stuff in the van, but like, who insures your equipment? Like, yes. We can't.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Not together today.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
I mean, it sucks.
We were talking about this yesterday as Nisa was helping me. Like, life sometimes like shit happens or like things change, and then like it just like keeps stacking on. Like, and mm-hmm. this and this mm-hmm. and this. So that sounds like a nice catalyst for change.
I think I'm thinking hopefully that's the pinnacle. Like that's the shit pinnacle, and we can sort of slide down the shit hill from there.
Yeah.
You're like, all right. Well, it can only go up from here.
Right? Like great. You know, so we're going to get some new all of our microphones. They had to like dig, they had to do some work to get all the microphones.
They were looking for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's
they crazy. Emptied out some batteries from
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so I think there's a special place in purgatory for people who steal because it's so violating.
I think there's a special place in purgatory for people who are musicians, which or, someone has to be and, who steal well, from other musicians
yeah,
particularly.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put that specific. Like, if you steal from Target, I support that.
Right, sure.
not you know, like
not on a regular basis.
Like why would I pay $10 for sunglasses?
Yeah.
You know? Like toothpaste.
You know, whatever, and it's a big corporation, which, you know, we gotta like start creating boundaries that corporations are not treated like people.
Yeah.
So
although,
I don't steal from people, although, but I'll steal I'm just kidding.
I mean, yeah.
Oh my god.
I feel you. I espoused that really hard while never doing it because I'm like a terrified
yeah,
I'm
like,
terrified
but
Irish Catholic
I can't,
girl.
I'd rather just pay for it.
I have
I'll just pay
a
for
really
it.
Fun like,
but also, you have to figure out the places because there are some places where they have that built into their profit margin and it's okay. And there are some places where they take that out of employees' paychecks. And, like, that's like,
that's
I'm not.
Bummer.
That's
yeah.
bands
no.
who
yeah.
don't
no.
get
no.
paychecks.
Yeah.
And, like, bands who don't get paychecks.
And,
like,
no, yeah. yeah.
And someone stole my bike a couple weeks ago. And it just, like, was this experience of, like,
oh my goodness.
Why are you doing that,
what
man?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got our apartment got broken into 2 years ago. And it was our apartment got broken into exactly a month after my roommate got mugged, and it was like,
we should do
this is the worst.
A writing prompt of
yes.
like
of
like the worst possible
oh
like uncontrollable situations
oh
you found
God.
Yourself in.
Yeah.
I have just like a year. There was just a year's
like
space
yeah.
that was just like
I feel like it's just like
we had bed bugs and then we recovered from getting bed bugs. And yeah, you remember this year. I was a fucking wreck for the entire year.
Yeah, we
didn't really hang out a lot. We had bed bugs. We recovered from getting bed bugs.
Yeah,
my roommate got mugged and wound up in the hospital.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Which
yeah.
was really bad. And then exactly a month later, the bottom floor of our house got broken into. And it was just like, are we supposed to live
like,
here?
Is this
What's
a sign?
Going on?
Yeah. Is someone
What's
very, trying to communicate
oh God,
with
that's so
23
sad.
Was violent. 23
yeah.
was a violent year.
I can't
my
believe
life.
It was that long ago.
Yeah. It was a while ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Nisa, I've known you for like a minute.
I know.
It's fun.
It was just
Taylor
my turn
Swift,
to get robbed.
Yeah. Write a song about that. Sorry,
yeah,
I was thinking of 22.
Welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York.
You're about to lose
welcome
half
to
your
New
stuff.
York.
Yeah.
22.
Welcome
and
to
then
New York.
See where it goes from there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But she's Taylor Swift, so
whatever.
So it'll be sunshine.
But
she's,
yeah,
she's
yeah, I don't
disconnected.
Think a lot of robberies happen in Tribeca.
So the bright side, a possible bright side of this horrible tragedy that has befallen you, is that there is a GoFundMe that
there
is currently
a GoFundMe
being set up,
and everyone's been super nice.
It's been fun to have a way
it.
To be like, I can visibly support this band that I love
Yay.
As people and also a band,
which is another thing we will. Link
Thank you. Wow. Give us money, please.
Yeah. Money, please.
Money, please.
Basically, like half of my life right now is like asking
for money.
I'm either like applying to a job and asking a business to give me money in exchange for work, or I'm running this Indiegogo for this show coming up at the end of the summer.
Which is how would I find that?
You also have a link to that to post, but I can talk about that in a minute. Okay. Which is super fun. Or I'm doing that, or I'm sending the Gander Corral GoFundMe around, being like, musicians, help the artists.
It's not your Kickstarter. It's like all of your friends' Kickstarters.
All of my friends' Kickstarters. God, this is not the direction I expected this radio show to take.
I know, this turned dark.
This is sad.
All right.
Everyone is sad and broke all the time.
On an upside, I feel like this is a good place to go into the writing.
And let's write about it.
Let me
see if I can bring that up. Talking about like shit happening and whatever, and asking for money and like being poor. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you have to keep perspective that you still, what am I trying to say? Like, you still have the power to make things happen.
Totally.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think everyone then in this room is really glad that we're not slave to a 9-to-5. Like, go in, put in the time, sit there, you know, be a cog. Which is, like, that's totally works for some people. But I think that you're trading something to have freedom to follow your passion.
Freedom to follow passion is really wonderful.
Means that you live on ramen a lot.
Yeah. I love ramen.
Throw an egg in there.
Exactly.
There's also some truth to the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which drives you crazy when people tell you. But my thought process with that is like, in 10 years, this is going to be such a great story.
Totally.
Like, you're going to have so much to tell, like, the next generation of your journey.
Yeah.
And that is worth.
Totally.
I personally
sometimes am a proponent of the cog 9-to-5, actually, because I had,
that supports other,
I mean, it supports other things. And I also had, when I had a 9-to-5, I had a very easy time like compartmentalizing my energy and being like, okay, these are what these hours are devoted to, and then I have these hours left to do this.
Yeah, there's something to be said for having a routine.
Yeah,
and structure.
I mean, structure is important
for me. Maintaining a routine is like pretty powerful thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
In my personal journey.
But I also wanted to die, so, you know.
Yeah, that's...
There's also that.
There's also the wanting, you know, which doesn't really go away, but like, changes.
I mean, that's
it, in fact, gets worse.
It does.
As time goes on.
It gets worse.
Years go by, and you're like, now I have a 401k, and I have things.
I don't know. I mean,
and where did the years go by?
And then you have that, where did the days go, or watching the days go by? When I had a 9-to-5, it was that song. I would just sit and listen to it and cry. Yeah. It's just like,
there's water flowing underground. It's going to be all right.
This is not my beautiful house.
I know.
Best song about settling ever.
It's the best song about settling ever. It's really good.
But
freedom is relative freedom, in as much as anyone can be free in the capitalist system. Like, for one, like, we're like fine. Like,
we're all being
globally speaking, like, we're doing great. And freedom is a wonderful thing, and choices are a wonderful thing. And asking for help is nice, actually.
If
also difficult.
Well, yes. I think that asking for help is necessary to rebuild community structure.
Totally.
That's, I think, has been lost, and especially with all, I mean, pretty much, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, everything changed, but just like less and less we've been grouped as communities, and we've been really into coupling and like that family like model where you're immediate family is your community, which is not enough.
Yeah.
So, like, you need other people, and, you know, there's been studies of, like, if you meet someone and then you ask for a small favor, like, can I borrow a pen? Like, it builds this rapport. So, oddly, asking for help in ways that people are happy to meet you is, like, a way of,
I read that study. That's the best way to get people to like you.
It's also been such a wonderful, it's also been a really wonderful like running these two, because we ran this Kickstarter campaign for this book last winter, and then I'm currently in an Indiegogo for a show, and it has been a really wonderful exercise in like gratefulness. It's been really wonderful to be able to like have my like social media life be me publicly saying thank you over and over and over again, and like publicly and specifically saying thank you. I love it.
Yeah.
Also, because I really enjoy like telling people that I love, here are like 7 different ways that you specifically are really wonderful and like reasons why I love you. And you can't do that in normal content. Like, it's like people get weird at you if you just start being like,
this is why I love you.
I never understand why I can't do that.
I do it anyway.
Yeah.
I do it anyway.
A couple years ago, I started accepting the fact that I literally have crushes on all of my friends.
Yeah.
And if I'm not crushing on you, we're probably not going to be friends. Like, so, yeah.
That's a thing. That's a definite thing.
There we go.
I've done stand-up sets about that. That's a thing.
Writing prompt.
Yes, yeah. Writing prompt.
Let's do it.
Let's segue into writing.
It's lovely little poem by Shel Silverstein, which I chose because there's a lightness.
Because I chose it.
Yes, you chose it. But I chose Shel Silverstein.
Which I chose because I chose.
Hey, I'm
teasing.
Was like, we should do Shel.
Collaboration.
Yeah, no, we collaborated. You said, what about this one? And I was like, meh. And then I was like, what about this one? And you're like, okay. So here we are.
It was the best of collaborations.
It's been a while since I've run these, Shel.
And me too. This is fun.
I know. We need to bring back Shel. We need to bring back Shel.
I heard he was kind of a jerk. But
this is also what I heard. But
yeah, but...
You don't have to deal with him. You just have to hold his.
That's true.
And you can also get his books from like discount stores, so you're not paying full royalties.
That's true. They're everywhere now.
Is Shel Silverstein still with us?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think he also might be dead.
Oh, you know what?
So you aren't giving him money anyway.
Oh.
Just read the poem before I. Let's read the poem.
Now I'm curious, and I love researching things. So
yeah, phone it up.
So
phone it.
While Nasa's gonna read,
we never have to guess or like argue about facts again.
No. I know.
Can always look it up.
I don't know how we dealt without that in the 90s.
Sometimes I choose to not, and I'm gonna decide.
Ended up killing each other, right?
Yeah. Shel Silverstein, may he rest in peace, died in May of 1999 in Key West, Florida.
That's so long ago.
That's a really long time ago.
That wasn't that long ago. You have cognizant memories of that time.
I know, but I didn't. But during that time, I guess.
I have cognizant memories. Most you of have them are cognizant... of like pooping.
Wait, no, no.
1992?
No, did you say 2 or 9?
9.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I was like.
I mean, I have cognizant memories of pooping from then too. So
I was like, you had a weird. Like,
yeah. But it took me between then and now to realize Shel Silverstein had died.
Yes, it's true.
This is true.
Yeah. We weren't that conscious.
There was a lag.
Well, there was no Facebook to share all that information on back then.
That's true.
This is true.
Touché, valid.
Practically
valid
point.
Anyways.
So it's a poem.
The poem is called Masks. And we do a river writing, so I'm going to read the poem and then put on some music, and then we will write. Choose your favorite line or from a feeling or just about anything we spoke about. It's completely your call.
Great.
So masks. She had blue skin, and so did he. He kept it hid, and so did she. They searched for blue their whole life through, then passed right by and never knew. Feel free to start writing.
All right. If you could find the end of your thought, start heading towards kind of a concept, I suppose.
A concept of an ending.
Looking.
Don't look at
Why would I look at
don't
it?
Don't look at my paper.
Oh my god.
Well, actually, we're gonna ask you to read it.
So. Yeah. Oh, so okay. You're welcome to.
You can say no, but say we're no. still gonna look at it. No, we won't.
We'll respect. No, I mean, no, I'll read it.
We respect your right
it's,
to.
It's nonsense.
To not
read
share.
It.
Yeah,
it's oh my
nonsense.
God, you got a whole page. I got well, like literally a sentence.
I mean, here's, I got a page of nonsense.
Whoa, whoa,
also,
whoa, whoa. Also, we all just made this, so it's not gonna be great.
Nothing's good. God, Cameron.
Yeah, mine's perfectly clean. And
oh, mine is a work of art.
Hey, what was that piece of music we were writing to?
Hey, what was
that? Hey.
I do believe that that was the Half-Lives theme.
That was the one of three Half-Lives themes that pops up throughout the book. That is the sort of opening number.
That's a pretty fucked up opening number for a children's
written,
book.
Well,
okay.
In
context.
Who did the music for that?
A lot of
that?
Screaming on that for... it's great.
Gander
like
Crowell did that
it.
Music. It's half... half, I laid out this thing and now I want you to play music over it. And then half of it was we're just gonna sit in this room and make the loudest, nastiest thing we can make, and then put that at the end of it.
Well, there you go.
So yeah.
Would you also like to read your writing?
Yes.
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
Why don't we have someone else go?
Someone else.
All right. Does anyone want to? Because I can volunteer, but otherwise.
Nay, so you should volunteer as tribute.
I will volunteer as tribute. All right. Blue. This has stuck out to me. Blue, 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 blue skin. How beautiful would blue skin be? Blue like the sky, light and happy, or like the ocean, deep and mysterious. Or a new type of blue that nobody has ever seen. How lovely would it be to have blue skin? But how ostracizing. How lonely. How blue.
Aww.
And that is that.
Excellent.
So.
You?
Sure.
You're into it?
Into it, sure. Blue, here is a song for you hidden underneath the skin. Do you search for what you have because you have it or because you don't have it? Because our multitudes are hidden, must be hidden, must be hidden. Even from us, mostly from us. I don't know, man. I feel like my blue, my green, my sickly violet has always been crystal clear to anyone who looks twice. Hidden only from me, only from me, only from me.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you. Ooh. You ready, Cameron?
I am ready.
You finished your
finished my one sentence. I was very close to writing blue. I was very close to writing blue five times.
I had that same urge.
I was
very close to writing like... only Joni Mitchell lyrics for the entirety of it and then stop myself.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I mean, I like what you wrote.
Are you sad that I didn't?
I'm a little sad that I don't
Joni
get
Mitchell's
to
better
witness that.
Poetry than like most things, yeah. But you know.
No, I know what you mean. Most of my poetry I find
well,
in
no,
music.
Then I would have to go after Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, and that was, okay. That felt rude.
Anyways,
so
carry on.
Oh, okay. She set the river on fire three times that night, spilling her own skin's oil over the water, waiting on the shore as the technicolor ate away the surface spread by the current.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome. You're all welcome.
Can I read mine?
Please.
No. Yeah, of course.
Okay. They searched for blue. I imagine a world of exploration, of finding shades of blue to find the right shade, the right context. My father's favorite color was sky blue, but that blue changes. He loved the blue of a cloudless sky. I love the dark, ominous blue of a storm brewing. Perhaps that's why we did not get along. Others have loved teals and aquamarines and ceruleans and more, matching blues to find the shades that complement.
Lovely.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yay. Spontaneous creation. And snapping.
Sounds great on radio.
Yeah, wow.
Does it? What else sounds great on radio?
I mean...
Smiles.
Yes, but also, Gander, you're going to have to pronounce the last word there, because I keep...
Gander Corral? Corral. It's not the easiest band name to say ever.
Corral. It's like a choir, like
right.
Corral.
Right, yeah, Corral, like C-H-O-R-A-L-E,
yeah.
For those listening.
I've seen it mainly
not
in
like
writing,
Corral.
So I'm no. like, Gander Cheryl.
Gander Cheryl.
Wait a second.
Cheryl Gander. That sounds great. Yeah. That could be a thing.
It could be your child's name.
Cheryl Gander.
Please don't name your child Cheryl.
Why not?
At least it wouldn't be like Jessica.
I can't say that on the radio.
Jessica is actually the person that they've been doing Mary Shelley with.
Shout out to Jay Smith. It's a really common name. That's all I was implying. It's the first one that came to mind.
It's a really unique person.
That's another
unique
common
person
name.
With a common name.
A unique person with the most common name, Jessica Smith.
It's a very common name. So common, in fact, that she had to change it. She had to change it when she became Equity because there was already another Equity actor named Jessica Smith and one named Jessica G. Smith. So she goes by Grace Smith in all...
Grace,
which is her, middle name. Yeah. Which is all in all professional correspondence, which has been fun.
I do like the name Grace.
I like the name Grace.
It's a mother's name.
It's a nice name.
I also think the name Jessica
is a lovely name.
I think so, too.
It's a lovely name. It's just very common, very popular. I mean,
It was popular when we were kids because of probably several things.
It was a very
90s. I feel like it totally was. I remember, like, so many Jessicas growing up.
Yeah, I think it was, like, Sarah, the number one name.
I mean,
like
Sarah
89.
Jessica Parker was a thing, and...
J names, I feel like, in general in the 90s were pretty... J names Justin, Jennifer, Jessica,
Jenny.
We had a lot of Morgans when I was growing up.
That's my sister's name.
I had like four Morgans in elementary school.
That's
an exaggeration. I had two Morgans.
Oh my god,
Naces were so common when I was
like
growing up.
That's not true.
Yeah, Nasa, and Barbara are like two names for the ages.
Do you ever
Everyone
go by Barb or Barbie?
No, because I have an aunt. I have an older aunt who I'm named after.
Who's Barb?
And she's Barb, and I'm B. Yeah, so I was like, no, can't.
I'm sure that she never did this, but did she ever like demand that she was Barb? Like, no.
No,
I'm Barb.
I mean, I was
you
called...
You were not allowed to go by that. I am Barb.
I never wanted it, so we never had to fight about it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Just eliminate it.
My mother and I had that instance once when I thought of dyeing my hair red, and she got very angry at me, and she was like, I am the redhead. I was like, okay, got you.
Okay, Mom.
Never gonna dye my hair red.
Okay. Cool. Great.
You should dye your hair orange.
No. You should dye your hair purple. I think you should dye your hair whatever
purple.
Color you want.
I've been thinking about
Agreed.
Purple.
Agreed. I agree. I think dyeing your hair is great fun, and I approve of those who can pull it off.
I tried to do that once.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't. It didn't show up.
Did you try to do it without bleaching your hair?
I didn't bleach it.
That's the problem.
If you have dark hair, you gotta bleach it.
Dark hair problems.
Cameron's hair is raven black, for those of you playing along at home. Yeah.
Well, my problem is kind of strange, too, in that my hair is red, but... I don't know. So my first time ever dyeing my hair, I put brown streaks, big chunks, like an inch, and blonde highlights. And then I like brushed it and couldn't see any of it because it like blended in with the red. And it was all done correctly. And you could pull out and be like, yep, that's definitely brown. And then when you swooped it back with like the rest of my head of hair, it was gone.
That's
so
extraordinary.
Like, that's a waste of money.
I wonder if something about the tone of brown and the tone of blonde just blended
really well. I mean, it was the dark brown. But then a later time I had purple highlights, yellow highlights, and red and orange. And they were really fun.
That's
just
awesome.
Like little chunks in the back
now,
that came out.
Now, what did you use? Because I remember I used
I went to Aveda Manic Pants Salon.
Oh, you got it done by a professional.
Yeah, I did it legit.
Okay. I wore wigs in high school, so I didn't have to dye my hair.
I did it in the driveway.
Yeah, I thought about wigs.
That was how I did it.
I just
went on a rereading streak of Roald Dahl and The Witches, and where he talks about the witches being bald, and so they wear wigs, but they don't have hair between the wig and their head, so it makes it itch. But we all have hair, so we could all wear wigs, and it would be more comfortable.
We could.
Yeah, it would be pretty. I mean, they get hot.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
I can imagine.
Wigs would be fun in like fall time.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets a little colder,
God, mustaches.
Right?
Should we all wear wig mustaches?
I was thinking wigs. In Utah, I started wearing a mustache when I went hiking, and for some reason, like this thing on your face changed your body temperature more significantly than I would have anticipated.
Did it keep you warm?
Yes.
That's incredible.
It like buffers your face just enough that you're like, face is warmer.
Weird. Whoa.
I know. And that's why women should occasionally wear a mustache.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say. There are many reasons why. Everyone who wants a mustache should wear a mustache.
Just give it a go, you know.
Do dudes, everyone, women, people who are neither dudes nor women.
People who just can't grow mustaches should just, I feel like there's a stigma.
There's sticky mustaches. You could get a real life hair one.
Exactly. You could get it like woven into your face.
Mm. Yeah, you could get implants.
A plug. Hair plugs.
Hair plugs, yeah. on your face.
I feel like that sounds really painful.
That sounds awful.
Really painful.
I'm not going to commit
also,
that
there's
much.
Also, there's such a great technology of stick-on mustaches and also, like, plays on the mustache, like, done with... I remember there was someone in my life who was going around with like lovely painted on green face paint mustache for a while, and it was just delightful.
The painting is also very fun, and I would also, for if you're interested in any kind of body painting, highly recommend going to your nearest art supplier, finding watercolor pencils that are non-toxic, and just get them wet and draw on your body, and it's amazing.
Yep. Sounds awesome.
But quick plug: if you draw it on, it's not going to keep you as warm. So
this is also true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So real mustaches if you're looking for warmth.
If you're going to be out in the
Let's create a
tundra.
Trend come this winter.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be the mustache gang.
Yes. You'll see. It'll be the new hot thing. Like it'll be picked up by Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Gender.
I bet. I'm right. Someone famous.
You know, Kimmy K's sister.
One of these.
One of them.
She's
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I call her Kimmy K. Because we're such good friends.
Mm-hmm. You're really good friends. That's really awesome.
That's also a lie for people listening. I do not know Kimmy K.
But why did you have to say that? This could have blown up.
Oh, because
you could have said that she was coming on.
I just
next
don't
week.
Want a Twitter war with her.
Oh my god.
I do. So, that's gotta be great press.
I'm like, great.
So I'm the queen of the tangents this morning, but I was literally this morning I was listening to Invisibilia, where he talks about how he hired guys to be his like bodyguards, and he hired people to like swoon and like take pictures, and he went inside of this building where all these celebrities were coming in, and then like put on his like sunglasses and then walked out, and like his friends there like started taking pictures, and this was in Times Square, I believe. And the just like having the bouncers there, and like people believed that he was famous just because he looked famous.
Yeah.
And they had people going around because Invisibilia, you're gonna like, you know, make a show out of it. They were like, so you know this person, and they're like, yeah, oh my god, he's my favorite, I love. And they're just like, well, you've never seen this
That's
person,
amazing.
So you can create, you know, celebrity.
Yay.
Stuff.
Oh my god, so fun experiment out there with people. So we're getting close to that time. We usually like to end our show with a bunch of rapid-fire questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Let's do it.
So
all
let's
right.
go.
Fire them.
Let me go ahead and start, and I'm going to do one. I'm going to take it before.
Before I do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I can respect that.
What is your favorite brag?
Mm-hmm.
Brag?
Yeah, like just brag. And do, like if someone was talking to you and you were trying to impress them, what would you pull out? As opposed to your penis.
I mean, if this is rapid fire,
well, shit.
If this is rapid fire, the thing that came into my head is I fought a bear once, which isn't true, but it is my favorite brag.
Okay, so there's a story there, I'm guessing.
No, because it didn't happen.
It's not true.
It's
a true
brag. You just started telling people that you fought a bear.
This isn't rapid.
Favorite brag. My thank you. It's natural and unattainable.
Yeah.
Whatever we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
If it's about me.
I love that one.
Stole it.
Yeah, from Parks and Rec?
Yes, I did, but it's still my favorite.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good
it's
brag.
It's just the best.
It is the best brag.
Do we have new brags that we need to announce?
You know what I realized today? It was when I was in high school, I summered in Oxford.
Wow.
That's one I tend to throw out. It was a school program. It was Oxbridge, but I was just like, oh, yes, my summer in Oxford. And then I'm like, Nasa, you sound like a prig.
That's really fun.
And mine, I really like eclectic living situations. So I think it's a good one. I'll keep it.
Yeah, that is a good one.
My question for you, being a show about reading and writing, is there any writing advice you've been given, either songwriting or, you know, open it up to like creative advice that's something you kind of hold to or that's changed the way you approach it? Or like less loaded, just like writing advice.
Yeah.
I want this from you. I want to know where your lyrics come from.
Ooh.
How the hell this happens? This is one of the conversations. I mean, we'll have to go.
Let's see. I don't know if I have any like actual advice because I don't know if I've ever really taken very much or been very good at taking advice. I was asked this at another point, and I said care less, but that's really bad advice.
care less about what you're writing?
You have to care less on the first draft and more in the second draft.
Right. I mean, and that's...
Yeah, well, I think that's something I've encountered with a lot of writers who are blocked, is that they'll try and self-edit that first draft, and you just have to, just get it out, and, no one's first draft is good.
Also, a lot of the worst ideas I've ever had, as far as, there's no way I can write the play and have, that in it, that's completely ridiculous, that's not going to happen, have been things that have stuck through all drafts and then, been awesome. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that because you will never write it if you edit that out, and also because sometimes that's the good shit.
Yeah.
Is the things.
Yeah, it's not like anybody has to see the first draft.
So no, I like your advice.
Oh, actually,
thank you.
And speaking of not seeing the first draft, I remember having a conversation with your band member Caroline Faustine in college, where she was talking about how she writes, and this is also frequently how I write first drafts. She writes her first draft consistently by hand.
That's me.
Which is also good. So, and I write first drafts. Half-Lives I wrote on a typewriter because I'm obnoxious.
Oh, I love that.
82-page play on a manual typewriter.
Yeah,
because actually it was a really great process tool because for the reason that she was talking about with writing by hand, which is that you have to do another pass of it before it is physically possible to give it to anyone,
mm-hmm.
Which is fun.
And you have to
retype it.
And I think, I mean, this is something that I realized when I was writing. This is a long rapid fire. That's okay. That's why we do it. Is seeing your thoughts on a page is so necessary and so different from seeing your thoughts on a screen.
Yeah.
Or seeing your thoughts handwritten.
Yeah.
Seeing your thoughts in type allows you to edit and interact with it. I feel like it's a necessary step, whether you're transcribing it and printing it or whether you're, typing it out on a typewriter.
Totally. The typewriter was also helpful because it moved.
And you're writing on a fucking typewriter, which is awesome.
I was writing on a chair.
And there's a rhythm.
Right? That's the loudest way to write.
Yeah, I love it.
It was great.
Except when you hit a lull and you're like,
Yeah. And then everybody knows. It was also great because it moved. The limitations of the machine moved slightly slower than my brain did. So I had to kind of edit and process, because if I just typed a bunch, it would get jammed. And also, it weighed 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I had to carry it around, which means that if I took it out of the house and I didn't write that day, I was an asshole, because then I was just a bitch walking around with a typewriter.
Yeah, wow. That's that's commitment.
It was really good discipline. See, I'm trying. You're going to do this.
I want to find a light typewriter. That's kind of my.
They make. Olivetti made the Olivetti Valentine, which is now an art. It's now an art piece, so they're kind of expensive, but they made. Olivetti made a typewriter in 1969 that was a modernist typewriter that is plastic.
Oh.
That's a full plastic body. And all metal gears. And so it works.
Yeah.
But it's this lovely.
I'll do some research.
Hard plastic case.
Capitalism.
Do you have any writing advice?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, the one that I try and stick to is just write every day. I mean, that's sometimes that's oh, my God, self-compassion.
Yeah, that's self-care.
At least I wrote today. I wrote some things. I put words on a page.
So. Right? So you've done your job.
Yeah.
You've done your job.
Check. Yeah. I was a writer today.
But also then let people see it and let people help.
Ooh, yeah. That's the part where I think I'm blocked a little bit. I'm like... I mean, NASA moved two boxes of journals I have. And, for me, creating stories to, actually show people is not... I'm working on it. Anyways,
it's a different kind of writing than journaling.
But enough about me.
Yeah. I don't have any
question
outside of just, write. But I do have a really good question. I mean, not really good, but it's my favorite. I mean, it's one of yours, so it's amazing.
NASA, stop backtracking on the question. Just
question.
NASA, this is a gendered behavior that you've been taught.
Question.
My question is there a piece of literature or work that influenced you during your transition in puberty?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite questions.
There were a lot that were really important to me. In
puberty. Oh, my God. Okay.
Start talking. I want to hear all
these. I was really excited.
I can see the thoughts buzzing through your brain.
I was really excited for you, too, because I was like, ooh, I bet you they have good ones.
Oh, geez.
No pressure, though.
Stargirl by Jerry Spinelli.
Oh, I love that.
Which I love that book.
Oh, my
and
God.
Also, now I look back on it, and I'm like, oh, I don't know
it's
if all the things.
It's kind of awful.
It's kind of, that's a Manic Pixie Dream Girl book. That's terrible.
Yeah, but it like, was, but what it was. What is this?
Oh, it's great. Oh, it's awful, and it's great. And I also really, like, that also in A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, which then also influenced me, was a really big influence on me in high school, because... my freshman year of high school English teacher, in a like getting to know you exercise with the class, asked us all to recommend books for his like, I think like 11 and 12 year old sons. And I recommended that, and he said, and his response in front of the entire class was, "Isn't that kind of a chick book?" And that was my first experience of being like, "Okay, fuck you, authority figure. I'm not listening to another word that you said," which was a very good choice in my
good
life.
Good on you, yeah.
So also A Tree Grows in Brooklyn was happy for that. It was also,
oh
I'm
God.
Glad I read it for that reason.
I can't believe you would say that.
I mean, it has a female protagonist,
well,
but like,
it's interesting.
You.
It's interesting.
It's about
I mean,
alcoholism and poverty.
Yeah, that subversive, like, cultural dominant, I don't even know what I'm saying, but just like, the things that slip out of teachers' mouths. I mean, having, I think, you know, getting on another tangent, if you think back to the teachers who have really, like, taught you and you learned and you were changed, like that was priceless. And I feel like that's not the norm. I feel like people can go years without having a quote unquote good teacher. And
I think I can think of like three.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
And so I just like praise to the teachers who are there and who are pushing their, you know, mental constructs of reality to better educate a progressive youth.
Yeah.
Anyways, Cameron.
You? What did you read? I know some of the stuff you read.
Well, I mean, the one that I immediately think of as, like, a, like, defining thing for, like, my growing up is actually this this series of comics called Akira.
I think I've heard of Akira. What's
like
the
big
like plot?
Deal.
It's a big
plot,
old deal.
What's the plot in, like, I know this is, like, the hardest question, but, like, Flash version of the
sure.
plot.
It's a graphic novel series. It isn't a comic series, is
it's,
it?
It's, oh. Well, it was originally serials.
Really?
Yeah, and the serials are full color if you can find them.
Oh my God.
I still have
those were
them.
The ones that were on the walls of the Goodbye Blue Monday bathroom, and then they paved them over because they're assholes.
Right, because they are assholes. Because
they're the worst.
Anyway, Akira is about, in a nutshell, this teenage bike gang who is in vocational school in Tokyo a while after, like, what has been reported as an atomic bomb has gone off, like, in, like...
This massive, massive apocalyptic atomic
right,
bomb.
And then it's okay. Maybe, like, 20, 30 years later, and they're a bike gang, and they're a bunch of upstart teenagers, and they're doing drugs and stuff, and I probably read this too early.
And then it gets dark.
I love it.
That's, like, the story of
heavier.
My puberty transition, so I'm with you on that.
And then,
like...
yeah, and then there's a bunch of, like, these psychic kids and stuff, and then, like, one of the teenagers gets, like, psychic powers from the government, and then shit just goes, like, haywire, and, like... Of course, Tokyo gets destroyed again.
And
like,
then it turns out that the psychic teenagers are the atomic bomb.
What?
That's a spoiler, but I don't care. It's really
I know.
Bad.
Super spoiler.
It's so good.
It's a spoiler in like, so like the first
Wonderful.
Book. It's so good.
Do you have a nuanced one?
Do I have a new one? Well, I mean, I revisited Roald Dahl, and I was like, oh, I remember all this being really impactful, especially the witches, and the film version with Anjelica Houston was just like,
oh my God.
So
terrifying.
Important. So terrifying.
Pretty formative for me. Yeah, so that's the one I'm going to throw out this week.
For me, I got The Hobbit. I feel like The Hobbit was a pretty big... It's a weird one,
it's the most
one,
enchanting
it,
book in the world.
It,
no,
the it was great. One of multiple books that I read during that transition.
And
that
it's
got
so succinct
like,
for Tolkien.
Yeah.
Wait, but you said like, you also had like a dark...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Well, like Footy Cutty, Ghost
God,
World,
yeah.
Crumb.
Yep.
Crumb.
Oh, God. You were reading Crumb when you were like...
That's wow.
It's a story that I tell here often. My dad entered the room one day. This was well past he had introduced me to Crumb, but this is the one that I remember. He opened the door and he threw a book of Crumb, like a book that he had written, a comic book, threw it at me and then closed the door and walked away. And I was like, oh, okay. There was like a series of my life where my dad just opened the door.
Literally
and, like,
throw books.
What were they called? Like those penny something?
Penny, I don't know.
The little, like, when they first were, like, issued in print form, like,
oh,
pornographic, like, little publications were called penny somethings. I'll try and fact check that.
They weren't called Penny Dreadfuls. That's another.
That's later. That's, but that's what earlier, I was thinking of.
All right.
Penny Dreadfuls.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for being here.
Oh my God, thank you for having us.
We'll give synopses of all of the works that we like mentioned but didn't really talk about on
And
your
thanks
thing.
For listening Woo, to Radio Free cool. Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in one more plug for my show, The Theater Made in Paradise, Saturday, this Saturday at 12 p.m. Go on our website to find out more information, as well as I'm going to leave you with the word of the day, take it or leave it, which is spay drift. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. I didn't know. And if you